Good morning. We're up to Kenyan Torah number 7. Again, as I mentioned, there are some differences of opinion exactly how to count. We looked at the Bina Salev and Sichos Halev yesterday. It's possibly two different things. Others count it as one. It doesn't even appear. There's a separate one on the list in some issues, in some editions. And Ema in Europe perhaps counts as one. But anyway, we'll follow this order that Kenyan Torah number 7 is Anova, humility. I can't emphasize enough the importance of this in life and in learning as well. The person who's in honor, of course, is humble in his behavior, and he's humble just in terms of his character. And the opposite, of course, gaiva, we discussed in the past, as far as I'm concerned, is really the worst of all midos, and anova is the greatest of all midos. Humble does not mean, I've said this in the past, does not mean that you walk around saying, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing, I'm a piece of garbage, I'm a shmata. That's not what it means. But it means that a person understands that you're sometimes not worthy of what you're receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in terms of relation with other people, that you can't take for granted that you're getting everything because you deserve it, but rather you have to keep working and even work harder. And that's true in terms of learning as well. Even a person who's mastered something in learning, there's a lot more to learn. It's an important point. The more you learn, and you've all experienced this, the more you learn, the less you realize you know. And that's true of everybody. There's always more to learn. I'm on the Besdin of Fergeris here in our area, northern New Jersey. And one of the things we always tell the person who's on the road about to, ready to undergo the, the formal tefillah and so on, that they're learning. We've been learning for quite a while. Most of these people are coming to us and they're ready for Geirus because they've been studying with somebody for quite some time and intensely. And one of the things I always say is that, the learning doesn't stop. Geirus is not a graduation. Now I've reached there and I know everything. I always say, and I say in the name of the other two Rabbanim who are sitting at the table, I say, we're also constantly learning. I discover new things all the time. I learn new things I didn't know, I didn't understand, I understand better now, and so on. My point is that I want the Geir to understand that although we've been studying basics of Jewish belief and Minhagim and Dinim and all the things they've been discussing, the learning doesn't stop. The learning has to continue because there's always more to know. Obviously, there's certain basics you have to know before Geiris, but I want to focus so much on the Geiris now as I do on the idea that a person has to recognize that there's a lot more to learn. That's how the great Rishonim and Achronim, they write when they suggest something, a lot of times they'll say, L'anias daiti, right? L'fi anias daiti. We see that expression in Chazal all the time. It's a suggestion, seems to make a lot of sense, but I have to have a certain amount of anova, especially, and we see this also sometimes in the writings of our Gedolim. They suggest an answer, or an Achron will suggest an answer to a Rishon, and it fits in very well, but, sometimes they'll say, I don't know, if he didn't say it, the Balamor didn't say this, the Balamor raised the kasha, I gave a suggested answer. And it's a beautiful answer. But at the end of the day, the Balamor didn't say it. I don't know. Maybe there's something I'm missing. That's what I'm saying. There's a certain anova. Sometimes they'll say, Lula de Mistafina, right? If not for the fact I was afraid, Michavera, nobody else suggests this. So it doesn't mean it's wrong. It may well be right. But there's a certain amount of anova. And that's such an important piece of learning. Also, when a person's in honor, he'll be willing to learn from everybody. We spoke already about a chacham being lomad mikol adam. A person can gain something from absolutely anybody. I know that, in an open mind that I'm saying it, that Rabbi Schechter was one of the earlier rabbanim who accepted what's currently worn by many people as tcheles, right? The dye from the Muras truncus snail. I'm happy, very involved in that because my brother-in-law is one of the major players here. I remember when he first presented it to me, I was very convinced that he made very good arguments that this is actually a chalazon and that's the right color and so on. But I said, my rebbeim don't wear it, so I can't do it, And then Rabbi Schechter wore it, so he said, what's your excuse now? So that was the end of my, I had no more excuses. I have been wearing it already for many, many years. Other people don't. I'm not criticizing anybody. They're different. But Rabbi Schechter had a sheet about how to tie it. And he changed something. And my brother-in-law told me he changed it, and I checked it up at Shechta. He changed it because actually some young fellow, I don't know, high school or college-age person in the summer program that Shechta was at, kept hacking him about something and asking him, and he changed his mind. He changed his mind because this young person, who I'm sure did not know, does not know, anyway, near what Rabbi Shechta knows, convinced him in this particular case, a person is lomed mikol adam. You can learn something from everybody, and this affected his psak and, you know, how he tied the trellis and so on. And there are numerous such examples where a person, but that's only possible if you're an anav. If you think you know everything yourself, okay, and that your knowledge is so superior, so even when your knowledge is superior, You'll want to acknowledge that someone else has somebody, you know, somebody might be able to ask, might be able to add. And the truth is, an honor of, again, not only can learn from somebody else, but can admit a mistake. Made a mistake. Sometimes a person says something wrong. And, it's not an accident. We mentioned in the past that Moshe Rabbeinu is described as the honor of Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble person. So the joke, quote unquote, is, you know, who is the most humble person in the world ever? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. And who wrote that he was the most humble person? Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So, you know, it's a little bit of a paradox, but the fact of the matter is, humble, as I said before, and I've said many times, Moshe Rabbeinu was not unaware that he was different than everybody else. Moshe Rabbeinu understood who he was, okay? I mean, he understood that he had something that other people didn't have, but he didn't exaggerate it. He wasn't willing, you know, he didn't make that, you know, wear it on his sleeve, like we say in the expression in English. He used it properly, and that's, and why was Moshe? You look in the Pesukim there, it's actually in Eretz Yisrael, it's this week's Seder, in the Chutzor, it's next week's Seder. In Parashat Bahaloscha, because we had the second Yeshua's last Shabbos, so we, the second day of Yontah, didn't have Eretz Yisrael, so this is one of those years when they're going to be ahead of us for a while, by a week, in terms of the Parashat Shavua. But anyway, it's in Parashat Bahaloscha, it says that in the same section, at the end of the Seder, in the same section where it speaks about Moshe as being the honor of Mikol Adam, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him, pel peh, the way he didn't speak to anybody else. And many point out that those two things are not an accident. Okay, it's not an accident. The reason Moshe was the honor of Mikol Adam was precisely because he knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu better than anybody else. How could he be a bal gaiva? How could he be anything but an honor? The greater your understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater of your perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you realize you're just compared, you realize that you're not so great at all. So the two things, again, go together. Moshe Rabbeinu was the honor because he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu pal pal. And he had a greater perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than anyone else possibly could have had. That's one of our fundamental. And he said, Hamunah, the Rambam tells us, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu's relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unmatched. So the result of that was the Anu Mikol Adam. So I think some of the ideas. But when it comes to learning, again, you have to recognize it. You know, the Torah, we know, is Arucham Atzmidah, Rechav Min Yam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah is broader and wider and deeper, you know, than anything else. The more you know, the less you realize you know, and that's why Anova is such an important piece. Okay, they say the name of Rabbi Saul Salanter. Okay, he felt that as great as he was, and he was a genius and so on, didn't reach the ankles of his great Rebbe. Okay, that's the idea of Anova. And I think it's one of the Ramban writes, Zumi de Tova, Mikol Amidos Tova. So Ramban and Igeres Ramban writes that it's the greatest of all the Midos. And it's something to bear in mind. Number eight, I think also so important, is the idea of Simcha. Yivdus Hashem is Simcha and so on. But it comes to learning also, you need simcha. You have to have simcha in what you're doing. You have to have simcha in your learning. And it's so important because, you know, if a person views his learning as a burden, okay, we speak about Amelus Batar and Amo and so, but not to be viewed as a burden, okay? If you view the Torah as a learning as a burden, so it's just another thing you have to do, and this is what's expected of you, and then you're not going to get it. You're not going to acquire Torah unless you have a deep sense of simcha. Okay, in your learning and in the world in general. Okay, when you enjoy something, you put more into it. When you enjoy doing something, so you'll sharpen what you're doing. Right, you enjoy this. So you want to do it in the best possible way. If you're just doing something, again, the Yiddish expression, Yotzitz is on, I got to do it. I have to do well on a test, and I have to, I have to get this degree. I have to finish this course of study, and I have to impress this person. This is what my parents want, whatever else. If that's all there's no internal simcha, so you're not going to get it, okay? And the truth of the matter is, with simcha, I mean, we know that that's such an important part of Avodas Hashem in general. The Rambam, you should read the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Lulav, right at the very end of Hilchos Shofar Sukkah Lulav, the parak has the very end. You have a few moments, read that Rambam, and he'll talk to you all about how it's important to serve our Kadosh Baruch Hu with Simcha, and in other places, Simcha does not necessarily mean, that they're the dancing and singing all the time. Again, sometimes you go in the streets of Yerushalayim, so there's a breslev of Hasidim, other Hasidim who are singing and trucks and this and that, Okay, I'm not sure you have to do that, but you have to have, this sense of simcha in your learning. And again, if I've said this in the past, if you're a teacher, it's all the more so important. Talmidim have to see that the Rebbeim or their role models are happy with their learning, happy with their mitzvahs and so on. If they don't see it, it's very hard to influence somebody. Okay, if a person sees that this is the way the Rebbe lives and the way the Rebbe behaves and doesn't seem to like it so much, then why should I pursue that? It's especially important today. I think at one time, maybe the more rigid, very disciplined type of education, where everything was you misbehaved, you got a slap in the face and so on and so forth. That may have been, and I'm not going into now issues of abuse and that. I'm just saying, just in terms of the whole style. The whole style of not complimenting a Talmud and being very, very tough. And that worked for some people for a long time, may still work for some people, but I think for most people it doesn't, because so much of society today emphasizes joy and pleasure. But the truth of the matter is, we mentioned also the Hakdama to the Eglei Tal, that the enjoying your learning and does not take away from learning Lishma. That's part of the goal. The part of the goal is to learn. And even though Hashem the Simcha is a basic, is a basic value. The truth is, the bracha that we say in the Birchas HaTorah in the morning, V'harevno, right? V'harevno Shemal Kenneth Dibreis Vazor. What is V'harev? Harev, arev, make it sweet, pleasant. Kikolech arev marach nove. It should be pleasant. It should be enjoyable. Right, that's what yes, our Kodesh Baruch Hu for, and it's not an accident that the next thing is and so on, and our children should also follow. If we're happy about it, then our children will follow. Okay, I mean that's that's an approach of the Rosh Hashanah. Others mention this too. We usually have a principle in the Gemara that we don't have two themes in one bracha. One discusses in brachas. The Gemara says you don't have two themes in a bracha. We're mekadosh zmanim. Well, the Gemara answers, but you don't have two themes. Yet in the Birchas Torah we have two themes. We say v'harevno, that's one thing, and then we say v'niyah nachla v'tzatzainu. So isn't that two themes? The answer is no. It's the same thing, because you want to have v'niyah nachla v'tzatzainu. The children should follow the Torah. So v'harevno has to be pleasant. People, I've said this in my shul many times as a rav of the shul. The frum household has to be the happiest household around. It has to be. Okay, a frum household would be a happy household, not always so tense and always so nervous, And so, yes, we want to be careful about mitzvahs, but people have to see, our children and the people in the household have to see that the home, a frum lifestyle, a Torah lifestyle makes us happy. If we don't enjoy it, we're not happy about it. So then it's going to be very hard for us to sustain it long term, and certainly hard for us to pass it on. It's extremely, extremely important. I mean, last week was Shavuos, as I mentioned, the famous Gemara and Pesachim that says that on Shavuos everybody agrees you have to have lochem, okay? You have to have a personal enjoyment part of the Yom Tov, as opposed to the Shita Eliezer. The other times you have the choice, you can opt for having only a spiritual pursuit. Okay, you look up that Gemara Pesachim Samach Chazan Beis. But on Shavuos everybody agrees, and Rashi there says because we have to demonstrate. Rashi, look it up. Rashi and Pesachim Samach Chazan Beis. We have to demonstrate that we're happy that we got the Torah. The Gemara goes on to tell about Rabbi Yosef, who would fix the most delicious meal. I mentioned the other day, in terms of, on Shavuos, because he recognized that's what distinguished him from anybody else. So, again, Ivdus Hashem B'Simcha, the Gemara says also that Ein Hashchina Shorah Mitoch Atzus, when a person won't be Zochet Hashvos Hashchina, if one is sad, one's depressed all the time, one is, well, it doesn't mean that, you shouldn't try to fix things and be upset when things aren't going well. But as I always told the Rebbeim, and I was running the school in the high school, I told the Rebbeim, you have tightness to what's going on in the school. You can come to my office anytime and you can tell me I'm a fool. I don't know what I'm doing. You can do this is no good. That's no good. And the other thing is no good. In my office, the door closed. Tell me whatever you want. We'll talk about it. Either I agree with you or I won't agree with you. And you can vent. But in front of the Talmidim, everything's great. Everything's got to be. You know, we got to be, you know, this is the way things are. I'm excited. I'm happy that she was doing this. She was doing that. Come to me privately. Tell me whatever you want. And we can talk about it. But in front of the Talmidim, you have to see the Rebbeim are happy. The Rebbeim are, you know, are happy with what they're doing. I think it's extremely important that, you know, the Shekhinah is Shor Mitoch Simcha. And I think that's an important point. Finally, I just can't stress it enough. And I'm not staying this again, but I do have Hasidic blood. I'm a descendant of the Baal Shem Tov, but I'm not saying that that's why I'm not speaking about Simcha so much. I think it's extremely important that from home, a Jewish home, and certainly when a person is learning, it has to be B'Simcha. And that's why this is one of the Kinyanei Torah. Finally, for today, Tahara, B'Tahara. And what does Tahara exactly mean? Okay. Tahara means that there's a pureness, a purity, and a cleanliness of attitude. And sometimes we know that what you look at, what you read, what you see, so it enters into your head and it can pop into your head at the strangest of times. You know, when you don't know what triggers something else. Okay, a person should have Lev Tahor Broly Elokim. Yes, it comes Baruch Hu. That's a struggle. It's a struggle. There's no doubt about it, especially in today's world. There's so many temptations, so many things but these things detract not only from your personality, but again from your Torah, from your learning, because they're distractions. They're distractions. It's very, very hard to overcome them. We say in the davening, right? V'taher li beinu lo'av d'cha be'emes, which means very simply, if we want to truthfully serve our Kadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be with Tahara Salev. It has to be with Tahara, okay? That requires, a certain amount, a tremendous amount, not more than a certain amount, okay? Self-discipline and, not being impacted by things that are distracting and tame. And so it's hard to avoid in today's world to a great extent, but to the extent that we can, a person has to be, has to have his mind on purer things. I will conclude with an example that I sometimes give to Talmidim to help understand. How could a person not be distracted? How can it's impossible? Right? It's an impossible. How's that even possible? Right? And it's very, very difficult. So I just draw from an example. You watch a football game. Maybe I said this in the Shir once, but earlier in the year. But you watch a football game. So they have cheerleaders. And the cheerleaders are young, attractive women, and they're wearing next to nothing. And they're jumping up and down and so on. And that's part of what, to entertain the crowd. I never saw, I acknowledge that I've watched some games in the past of my life. I've never seen a wide receiver go out and follow a pass pattern and be distracted and stop running because he wants to stare at some of those girls. Now, he's not attracted? I can't speak to everybody. I don't know, but I would imagine under ordinary circumstances, this particular fellow is a human being, is a male, is attracted to these young, attractive females who are jumping around with nothing on. But so how does he not get distracted during the play? How is he? And the answer is, of course, because at that moment, his mind is on something else. He knows at that moment that, if I don't get where I'm supposed to be to receive the pass, okay, so the coach is going to pull me out of the game or I'll lose my starting position and maybe lose my job, lose my livelihood, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, his mind on something else. He doesn't have time for that distraction right now. Not that he's unattracted. He's attracted to it, but right now my mind is on something higher. Okay, and therefore I'm not going to let anything interfere, and that's the idea. So a person, if your mind is on something higher, in terms of Kenyan Torah that we're talking about, your mind is on the Torah, so then you can overcome. Not that you're not attracted to certain things and distracted by certain things. We're all human beings, but if you keep your mind on something else, those things will be less of a distraction, and perhaps you'll be able to overcome them. It takes training, it takes discipline. But, it can be done, and that's why Tahara also is one of the things which is identified here as a step towards Kinyan Torah. Wish everybody a wonderful day. Kol Tov.